Hey guys, I'm Hillary and I'm on a lot of panels. Giggle, giggle.
Oh no. All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 116, and we are partially down a member for a little while, possibly. Hillary's going to join
almost
us.
Almost a normal fucking episode.
Almost.
Almost. We were so close.
We were so close, but Hillary is MIA right now and should be joining us shortly.
Yes.
But how you guys doing?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got coffee. Out.
Yeah, I had a lot of coffee this morning. I'm back to adjusting to that 5 a.m. wake up time, so
a little
spacey, but I'll get there. I'll wake up.
You're back after your extended vacay.
Yeah. It was nice.
I'm like working normal right now, so I don't know how to do it. It's weird. Like 9 to 5, and then I'm like, I have nothing else to do. Close the laptop, I guess. And then,
that's awesome.
You're like, I should at least put in an extra 5 hours before I go to bed.
like 8 hour workday? This isn't correct. Let me put in another 3 to 4.
Let's do the rundown.
I think it's going to be pretty chill, which is great. I feel like it's different from what we've been doing. So we'll talk about what we've been doing. We're going to start looking forward to PAX Prime in Seattle. The schedule was released. A bunch of news is coming out. Everybody's getting excited. I think Hillary's on like 15 panels this time, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
And then Ash is going to talk about Dragon's Crown. And then you guys saw Elysium.
Yes,
which
you did.
I'd never heard of until you sent me an email.
Oh, really?
It. Yeah. So, and then we tried something different with our Naquato. Kind of went for a random question, which was, would you want to live forever? If so, what would you do with your new immortality?
And got a ton of answers.
Yeah, we got a ton.
We did.
This is a hot button topic.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Living forever is a hot button.
I almost did the burrito one that you guys suggested. I was like, you know what? We'll go in a different direction.
Are you guys familiar with Ray Kurzweil? And he invented like a bunch of stuff like text-to-speech and speech-to-text and synthesizers, and he's like
Is
a big...
Kurzweil? I always thought it was Kurzweil.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, Kurzweil. And he's a big advocate for the singularity, and he wants to live long enough just so he can become immortal, I guess, through technology. Like, if there's a way to install his mind into, like, a machine, like consciousness or something. I don't know. It's really crazy, but that's what the question made me think of.
I know I talked about it before on the podcast, but it was probably years ago. But one of the strangest things I ever saw at Comic-Con was they recorded hours and hours and hours of dialogue with the author Philip K. Dick. Like literally like hundreds of hours of audio from Philip K. Dick from different interviews and like all these responses that he had over his lifetime. And then they built a robot of Philip K. Dick.
What?
And he could talk as Philip K. Dick and answer questions as Philip K. Dick. So you'd ask Philip K. Dick a question and he would go through his database of like Philip K. Dick information and just like spout it out.
Jeez.
It was one of the most, it was so disturbing because it was like a total robot that would have been built in like the 70s. It was kind of like plasticky looking and just like really fucked up. But it always has kind of stuck with me as one of the strangest things I ever saw at Comic-Con. And it just reminded me of that. So
wow,
you have to look it up. Google it. The Philip K. Dick robot. It's fucking weird.
he's kind of amazing.
Yeah, he is. And his robot's amazing, too.
When you said 70s robot, I just imagine Box from Logan's Run. Fish and plankton and sea greens and protein from the sea.
He looks like one of those robots from like from Disney, you know, like one of the horrible, like it only says like one line and has like a really like really mechanical way of moving. That's sort of what he looked like. But
awesome.
It's pretty terrifying.
So wow. Why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Me? Well, I mean, this week I've been getting ready for going back to work, back in the trenches, and it's been going okay. I mean, it's kind of nice to be back on a pretty rigorous routine. So I wake up pretty early. You know, I've been coming home and doing some stuff. My wife and I have been watching How I Met Your Mother.
Yay!
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I watched the first couple of seasons and then I stopped. And so we're finally to the point where I had stopped watching. So we're like at season three now. But I don't know. It was something that when we were talking about what we did at Comic-Con, and I think Matt mentioned that the show is kind of designed to be just like a very positive, happy show. I'm like, I want to watch that.
Yeah,
because I've been watching a lot of fucked up documentaries this summer. Like Matt's been witness to that, and I'm like, I need some comedy for a while. I probably watched I don't even know how many like serial killer documentaries, yeah. War documentaries, like all these documentaries in Afghanistan. I'm like, I need to just like
let's just totally... say Prism is definitely tracking Ash right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I've been doing that, watching How I Met Your Mother, which is
so funny. Are you liking it? Are you having fun with it?
Oh, I like it a lot. I think it's great. And you know, it's funny. The first couple seasons, I hated Ted.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, either the actor's grown on me or the character is actually a little bit more tolerable, but I can actually stand watching him on the show now. So
I really think once they got out of that Friends clone mode, it like starts to grow on you really quickly. Like the first season really is like, can we reproduce Friends? And then after that, it's like, they really figure out how to write these characters and make them really enjoyable to like root for or, you know, get angry at or whatever. Like, but they do such a great job of like that push and pull emotion with all of them. So,
yeah. Well, they also do neat stuff that I don't ever really recall ever seeing in sitcoms where they'll set a joke up for something like four episodes down the road, you know, like someone shows up with spaghetti sauce and they're like, well, why do they have spaghetti sauce? They'll never answer it until like three or four episodes down the road. So
it's kind of amazing. Yeah.
And other than that, I picked up a game called Dragon's Crown, which we'll do in our review section, but it's an old fashioned kind of beat 'em up brawler, sort of like Double Dragon or Bad Dudes or TMNT. So we'll talk about that, and I think some people will like to hear about that. Let's see, Scott, what are you doing?
Well, since Hillary's here, I'll say that I've been working a lot. I'm still working on my Mass 2 Insanity playthrough, which would give me 100% achievements for Mass 2. I'm excited about that. I've made it to the suicide mission, so I'll probably do that after this podcast is concluded.
Wow.
And then I was going through my summer game pile and I realized that like I'm pretty sure if I don't purchase another game until the Xbox One comes out, I probably won't make it through all the games that I have to play.
I'm in the same spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And I realized that like you know, over the holiday there was like a couple of games that were like on super sale digital. So I have like Fall of Cybertron that I never even started. And oh, I forgot I had it.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. And I still have to play Arkham City, which is phenomenal, apparently. Right? Jesus. So
good.
Got tons of shit to play. So
you have good ones. I have ones like that I don't want to touch because I'm afraid to play them. So
I have a couple of good ones, but yeah, mine are mostly like they've been sitting.
I've got Gears Judgment to play.
I still have to do three.
Yeah. So anyways, that's Summer Game Pile. I've been getting caught up on Game of Thrones, so...
Are you liking it? I need multiple opinions as to whether people like this before I'll jump.
So, you know, I do like it now, and it is at times frustrating to watch, but I kind of, like, I try to, like, guess where things are going, because I haven't read the book, so I'm just kind of, like, enjoying the television series, so...
Yeah.
We're fake geek boys because we haven't read the books.
Right.
Well, I'm not a fantasy person. Read, you know what I mean? I'm a sci-fi person. So,
yeah.
I just like, I enjoy Game of Thrones because like my wife, enjoys watching it. So she rewatched it with me. And I think I'm caught up and I'm into it, but
all right.
You know, I would say
one of those, like, I think it's one of those, if ever in my life I have a lull in other shows to watch, I'll probably watch the whole thing, but I have like so much other stuff to watch right now that it's just not at the top of my list. So
yeah, I remember you talked about this before I watched any of it and you were like, well, I watched an episode or two and like I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see like where you were coming from with that. But I can say that it definitely gets better.
Yeah.
And there's just so much shit going on that it's just like, it's kind of mind blowing to keep track of so many things at once. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess the last thing that I wanted to mention is that, I kind of gave up on Xbox Music.
It's not coming.
There was supposed to be an app for iOS. Promise.
It's not going
to
happen.
Right? So, and then I tried the website that they put out. And the website, I'm assuming, was supposed to synchronize with whatever I had on like my Windows 8 Xbox Music app, which it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It'll sync with the phone. It should sync with your Windows 8, your laptop.
Right, but it doesn't. So like anything that I had downloaded as part of my subscription from 2013 like just didn't show up.
Dude, it's like, so I'm switching off of Windows Phone. I'm leaving it to my wife and I are talking about it. She might go back to Android and I might take her iPhone for a little while. We're not really sure. We're figuring out where we're all going to go with phones.
How's she going to play all her fucking phone games all the time?
We talked about that, but she misses Android. She really loved her Samsung phone. So she might go back. If she doesn't, then I'm kind of just waiting for the phone that I want to be on Verizon, which is like HTC One or a Nexus or something like that. Maybe the Moto X. I don't know. And yeah, the Windows Phone and Windows 8 and Xbox Music always comes so close. Like it's like
so
close
to
being
great,
and it's not. You know.
Yeah, like I want to use it. I like want to enjoy this.
Yeah, but the moment you use another service, you're like, oh, this is what it should be like.
You know what I did? Like I basically just kind of, for the time being, I gave up on putting my library into the cloud, and I just bought Pandora One. Because I use it all the time.
Yeah.
You use Pandora. Awesome. I used RDO or whatever. How do you say that? Radio. Which I loved.
And I swear to God, like, I had, like, part of the reason I subscribed to Pandora because the ads, like, weren't, the ads themselves didn't bother me, but the kinds of ads I was getting, like, were starting to piss me off.
Yeah.
So, like, I kept getting ads for Twin Peaks. You guys know what that place? Yeah. So it's like, check out the scenic views this summer at Twin Peaks. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. You know?
You know who is surprisingly good in the music subscription business is Google.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can upload your own library. So you have all of your, up to 20,000 songs for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have $8 a month, I think is what it costs, or maybe 10. You get the full subscription service too, and you can listen to whatever you want. And it just mixes seamlessly. So like, you'll have your own library, and then you'll have like all the other stuff that you can look up and try out new things. And if you purchase it, it automatically goes into your library. It doesn't count against your 20,000. And
it's done. Can you get that on the iPhone?
I know. So here's where it's good and bad. I know that supposedly the web app works very well, but that there has been rumor that it's coming to the iPhone for a very long time, and I don't think it has yet. I don't know though for sure. I haven't looked.
I mean, the thing that I was looking at was Amazon Cloud. Because that's where I buy most of my music anyways. And I realized that a year subscription to Pandora plus like a year subscription to Amazon Cloud is still cheaper than what I was playing for Xbox Music. And I was pissed off at it.
Oh, really? I don't know what Pandora costs. What does it cost?
It's like $35 a year.
Oh.
Or $4 a month.
Yeah. That's good.
About $4 a month.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? And then... I guess maybe that wasn't the last thing. The last quick thing I want to say.
That's fine. Because we got a short episode otherwise.
Yeah. We can have technology discussions. The thing, so I'm still pissed off about this. Like, as you know, I lost a Borderlands 2 character because of a power outage.
Yeah, which is ridiculous that is. I mean, they always say, like, hey, don't turn off the power while your shit's saving. But we live in lightning land, so we lose power constantly.
Yeah, for our listeners, like, we're based in Florida. So, like, we have thunder showers, every day from 3 to 4, you can set your watch by. So, like easily sometimes it'll be fine. And then sometimes it pretty much the onset of the thunder shower is very fast. So, like, you just lose power sometimes. So, I lost an entire character, and I come to find out that there was a, with a recent update, they started creating backup files. But the backup files only exist for if your file becomes corrupted. But because the Xbox couldn't recognize that the file was on my machine, like, the backup file cannot be used by the Borderlands 2 game.
Wow.
Which is kind of bullshit, because basically what it boils down to is that if you have a character that you've worked on for like 50 hours, there's only one file on the machine that where that character exists. So like the fix for that is to put it on a thumb drive, like back it up to something else. But I don't know. It's 2013. I feel like, you know, there should be a better way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That being
said, it's tricky.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And but that being the case, I decided to just buy a battery backup for my Xbox, which is the dumbest thing ever. It's like total overkill. So now like my living room, I have hooked up to like, you know, one of the things that you'd put on your computer for the same reason, you know?
Wow.
So I'm just sick of it.
I didn't know they still made those anymore.
Oh yeah. You can buy, you know,
since the advent of laptops, I feel like I've never really thought about it because I haven't had a desktop in so long. And like,
yeah.
You know, the power will go out and your laptop is just like, oh, the power's gone, and like just keeps working without really caring. So I forget about those things.
Yeah, but I still maintain a desktop just because, you know, partially because of the podcast, because it's easier to do the editing and stuff like that. And, you know, I used to like, you know, before everything became easier to get, I would store a lot of media on the machine and kind of blast it out to the rest of the house. But anyways, that's tech talk for everybody. So if you have opinions about music services, I want to hear them. And then I think that brings us to Matt.
Yes, let's go from tech talk to book talk, guys.
Okay. Yeah, good reads.
I finished Ready Player One this past week completely. Recommended. Good book. But we will hopefully be talking about that soon. I'm trying to figure out how to coordinate a hangout, but I'll figure it out, and we'll put it out through the Goodreads. I need to update the message on it so that we can get everybody together for it. If you listen to the podcast and you've read Ready Player One in the past, or you read it with us this time, and you want to take part, you know, either email me or Scott or Ash or really anybody, or tweet at us or something, and I'll make sure to promote when we're going to do the hangout and talk about the book. Because it's interesting. I think it's got a few good things in it to talk about, a few good kind of, not theories, but themes, if you will.
Yeah, it was surprising, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprising themes.
And then I started a new book called Masters of Doom, which is the story of John Carmack and John Romero, the creators of id Software and Doom and everything else. And it's super interesting, like in a lot of different ways and for a lot of different reasons. It talks not only about them as gamers and as like how they grew up, but it also talks about kind of the ideas behind entrepreneurship and like just smart people dealing with kind of being geeks or nerds and how they got through their early life and into the business. But it's not super long. I think I'm already like 20% into the book, and I've only been reading it for a couple days, but it's good. I'm really digging it. So you might want to pick that up. I feel like it's not the book club book, but it was just one that I had recommended and I thought I'd try it out.
Awesome.
So it's Masters of Doom.
I played so much Doom as a kid. Oh my gosh.
Dude, seriously, like I think you'd really like the book. It's really interesting. They started out like making the games that I used to play on my old IBM PC like forever ago, like Load Runner. And I mean, they didn't make Load Runner, but games like that, like these little like, you know, two color ridiculous games.
Do you guys have that I have that Doom programming book, like the big ass one, where you could make your own Doom levels.
I'm pretty sure everyone did this.
That's awesome.
And sadly I was making my school because like that's the only thing you could think of. And then Columbine happened and I was like, oh my god, I have to stop doing this right now.
That is a bad idea these days.
It was just a logical step. You're like, what is a place big enough that I'm familiar with that I can model? And it's like your school. And it's like, I didn't have any intention to like.
Dude, it's really funny to think about how times have changed, because in the book with John Romero and John Carmack, they talk about, I think it was Carmack who at one point during high school, like was making bombs with his friends because it was fun. Like it was like something fun to do. And then they would like go set them off in the middle of a forest or something, you know, like, and these are like just weird. They just wanted to make stuff, you know, like they just were constantly like driven to make things. If they did that now, they would be arrested and put in jail, like period.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
They'd be expelled from school. Even if they were nowhere near campus, they get expelled from school, get arrested and put in jail. And it's like, not that it's not deviant behavior in a certain way, but it's also like not necessary. Like it's not always a telling sign that they're going to go on a killing rampage, I guess is what I'm trying
to
say.
Just be like a curious mind.
Well, but I think about the shit that we did in high school, Scott. Like there are plenty of things that like we, you know, post Columbine would have looked at very differently than pre Columbine.
Yeah, like playing Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, like card game. Yeah. There's stuff that we did that I'm like shocked. You know, like nowadays, I don't think would be tolerated. Essentially, so. Uh-huh.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes. My wife just pointed out that that was shortly after high school, but I surfed on top of a car like an idiot.
Wow.
I'm pretty smart. So anyways, Masters of Doom, good book. Check it out. I watched G.I. Joe Retaliation finally with my wife, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I don't think I talked about this last time, right?
You talked about it. We talked about it after we went and saw something.
You and I did, did talk about it on the show. Yeah,
we talked about it at the Winchester.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. Yep. It's I loved it, man. I really liked it a lot more. The first one was terrible. Like, it was just awful.
Yeah.
And this one was so much more like G.I. Joe. Like, it was like cartoony in the right ways. It had some good action with some great, like, Ray Park. That scene, I keep talking about it to everybody, but there's a scene where I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who plays Storm Shadow fights Snake Eyes, who's played by Ray Park. Mm-hmm. And they basically, like, as opposed to every other action scene you've seen in the past 10 years, they basically set a camera up on a tripod and just, like, shoot it straight on. They're just like, here you go. Here's two guys that know what they're doing fighting each other.
So it's not, like, fast cuts. It's, like, actual combat.
There's no fast cuts. It's not, like, shaky cam. It's just two guys that are very good at fighting each other. And, like, it looks awesome. It looks amazing. But
Storm Shadow is played by Byung-Hung Lee.
There you go. He's a good guy. the mountain scene was fantastic and shot very well. And then I was just reminded that Firefly, I think that was the bad guy's name, right? Firefly. Wow. And Zartan was like a weird story where Zartan kills Storm Shadow and Snake Eye's leader, like or sensei, the guy who teaches them. And like I was like, is that what happened? Because the comics I had read, I never knew that. And so we went and looked it up, and it actually is literally, it was literally the storyline from the 80s.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Firefly fought with Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. And then like he was trying to get revenge, and he got this guy, and Zartan came in and killed him, and he blamed other. And then like it all broke up, and it was all kind of on purpose and due to Cobra and stuff. And it was like actually out of the 80s comics. I was really shocked by that.
Wasn't that kind of the storyline to, you recommended an animated film to us once?
Yeah, there's an animated one called G.I. Joe. Was it Retaliation? Oh man, it might actually be.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember watching it. That was an anime, maybe.
It was good. It was a little bit more adult themed, like animated movie, from about probably 2 years ago. I can't remember if that was exactly the storyline or not, Scott. Honestly, but it was a good animated movie. But anyways, the live action one was great. I actually really enjoyed it. It's worth like a Redbox or a rental online or something, definitely. And then the last thing I've been doing, which is just recent, is last night after Ash and I and our wives went and saw Elysium, we got home, and I was like I wasn't ready to fall asleep, so I turned on the TV and I ended up watching, I'm pretty sure I'm getting the title right, a show called The Theory of Everything by Stephen Hawking. And it's on Science Channel, and it's just him talking about the universe, essentially.
Oh,
did it melt your brain?
Oh, dude, it was amazing. It was like I was so into it. I was watching everything. The first one that grabbed me was about black holes and how they work and what they were created by and, you know, what's going on. And then the second one was literally about, like, not the Big Bang, but right after the Big Bang and how things actually started forming and what we think happened. And, you know, they're like, you know, everybody that wants to say this is all because of God could definitely be right. But the reason I don't think that it's necessarily because of God is because there's probably tons of universes and ours just randomly happened to be the one that formed this way, whereas the others didn't necessarily and they all failed or something along those lines. And
weird.
It's like hearing somebody speak in kind of like, you know, rudimentary English, if you will, or so, like in a way that I can understand about theories and things that are so far beyond my comprehension is just always amazing to me. And the stuff, it was awesome. It's like an hour and a half long, and there's a bunch of, I think there's like four or five episodes probably. I watched, I think, two or three of them before I kind of fell asleep on the couch watching it. But
that is amazing.
It's really cool. It's called The Theory of Everything. It's on the Science Channel. They talked about time travel in one of them and how time travel would work and the ways we could do time travel, like, realistically, and what it would be. And it's very, very interesting stuff. So check that out as well.
Super cool.
It's crazy.
Well, you know what else has just about everything in the universe in it?
What?
News.
PAX.
Yay. Nice job, Hillary, Hillary too.
Yeah, I hope Hillary is proud of me for that.
Yeah, I think she will be.
Okay,
she will be.
All right. So PAX is coming up, and it's 4 days and like 2,000 panels and 2,500 games. It seems like it's going to be like the craziest one ever.
It is. I'm really weary of this this extra day. And to be honest, like, when I was booking everything, I kind of forgot that that extra day was there. And then I'm like, wait.
I think you're wary of this extra day to fill in for Hillary.
Oh, okay. So I was apprehensive of the extra day.
Yes.
There you go.
So it is, it's just going to be a lot this year. It's going to be a whole lot this year.
Do they really expect people to go for all 4 days?
I mean, they will, right? Comic-Con's 5 days.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but it just seems like a lot.
It is, but it's going to be good, and there's a whole lot going on.
Oh, no, Comic-Con's 4 days.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, wow.
Do you think this is going to be a permanent thing, or do you think it's because of the next gen, you know, coming and just there's just too much?
I think
much?
It's because it fell on a holiday. Or did it fall on a holiday last year?
I think it generally falls right around this time, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, it's gonna generate more revenue and da-da-da-da-da. They charge more for tickets, and, and it's... Really, you know, one of the biggest next to E3, one of the biggest of its kind. So I think they're going to try and milk it for all they can.
Because the E3 is not necessarily this. I think it is almost the biggest of its kind, especially in America, as far as consumer-based gaming conferences. Because most of them are not consumer-based. They're either industry-based or press-based. And this is very much aimed directly at a consumer.
So we are doing something fun this year. And... for the past couple of years, we've been throwing these little pre-PAX get-togethers, and we're doing another one this year.
A meetup, if you will.
A meetup, yeah.
Do you not want to call it the nap anymore?
I think it's fun to call it the nap everywhere else. I think that we know it as a meetup. We like to hang out with people and say hi.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, exactly. So so we're going to have another meetup on Thursday evening. I think it's the 29th of August. If you're interested in going, then just keep an eye on our Twitter feed, and we'll give you some ideas on how to actually show up and hang out. And it's just a relaxing kind of way to kick off the show and see everybody, and we're excited. So it's always good to see faces that are nice.
Actually flying in super early just to make it to this thing. So
that's awesome.
Should be good.
And I think
we hope Scott goes.
I hope so too.
I hope I can go too, but forces much more powerful than myself might prevent me from doing that, but we'll do my best. And I think it's also important because I've been to a couple of these PAX things, and sometimes there are parties that are like, I want to distinguish our meetup from maybe what the traditional, like,
well, that's why I think we don't call it a party. We're not like throwing like a crazy, like, there's no DJ. We're not having a ton of free drinks and giveaways. It's just kind of a come and hang out and enjoy some time before the insanity starts.
Just
hang out before PAX starts and see some people you might know from Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Exactly.
I guess the first thing to report is that Hillary is on a lot of panels, and and she was going to be here to talk about them, but I will do my Hillary impression. Hey, guys, I'm Hillary, and I'm on a lot of panels. Giggle, giggle.
Oh, no.
So the first panel that I'm on, because I'm Hillary, is the new version of the 4Play Romance and Games panel. If you guys didn't get a chance to hear the 4Play Romance and Games panel at PAX East, there is a new version with some new guests, and that's actually going to be at the Wolfman Theater Sunday at 7:30. And since there is PAX on Monday, it's not one of the late last panels. So that one's a lot of fun. We actually recorded the audio for the last one, and it's up as an episode. I don't remember what number. It's like in the 90s someplace, I think, yeah, or something. But panels are awesome. This one is actually going to have Patrick Weeks and Karen Weeks on it, as well as Mylin and Anna, Melissa, and Hillary. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and that one should be super, super enjoyable. She's on another panel, Hillary, called It's Not Too Dangerous to Go Alone, Finding Bravery to Do It Yourself. And this is all about just being an entrepreneur and, trying to accomplish things on your own. And this one is also with Mylin and Hillary and a bunch of people I don't know. But that one is the Raven Theater, Monday at 10 a.m. So nice and early, and they're going to be really exhausted, and that'll be funny to see them get to that panel on time. And the last one.
What about this next one?
This is weird because I'm on this one, which I was weirded out about. But so I'm moderating a panel called Plus 10 Publicity. I need to.
Oh, boy.
You are?
Man.
Yeah, I need. Yeah, I'm moderating a panel. Yeah. Publicity. I'm going to practice that. Plus 10. I can't say it.
Oh, boy. Do you want me to get up just to announce the panel?
Yes, please. You need to go up to say plus 10. Oh, my God. I literally can't say it. Publicity. I can say publicity just fine, but I cannot say plus 10 publicity.
Oh, boy. This is great.
I think you should go to this panel just to watch Ash not be able to say the title when he gets up to it.
Yeah. I might just skip the plus 10 pulpit. I literally can't say it.
We're going to have t-shirts
anyway,
for this
it's
panel.
About plus 10 publicity.
Oh, boy.
Marketing and promoting your indie game. And that's with Kelly, who's the indie Megabooth overlord, and Hillary and Mylin, and Dallas Taylor, who's does a lot of sound design, and Sean Barrows, and myself. And that's Monday at 3 p.m.
Oh, boy.
Hey-o.
In a broom closet. No.
Oh, come on.
In the Wolfman Theater. It's a Wolfman Theater.
Broom closet. That'd be perfect.
Come by and see if I can say plus 10 blah, blah, blah today.
Blah, 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 blah.
I swear to God, I'll get up and just say the title for you, and then I'll sit back down.
Please. I need that. So that's the PAX stuff that that we'll be on. But, of course, we'll be running around all weekend and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, which we'll announce at a later day, because there's even more. Yeah, there's even more insanities
and stuff going on.
But wait, there's more.
I
have a plan, I feel like, this year to do something different.
Yeah.
Because the first year that I went, I had no fucking clue what I was doing. And just kind of wandered around with my jaw on the floor with Ash, like, they're just letting us play games.
Yeah.
That was a shock.
It was weird. It was weird to walk up to like the Warner Brothers booth and they'd be like, oh, you're press. Come on over here. And I was like, I don't understand how this works. And then last time I went was Boston again. And I kind of killed myself to like, not killed myself, but I tried very hard to meet with as many people as I could set appointments with and all that stuff. This year, I feel like I'm going to set a plan and a theme. I think instead of trying to cover a bunch of stuff, I think I want to write like a couple of good articles.
Okay.
And do them based on a theme so that I could interview or talk to maybe two or three people and then write one article off of that 2 to 3. Because I get too grandiose sometimes and I cover like 15 things and I'm like, I need to write 15 articles. And I haven't written 15 articles in a row for this site in a very, very long time. So like, I think that's my goal. Does that sound like a doable goal, guys? Are you okay with that?
It does. I like the idea of structuring it. Like I'm in the camp of like, I'll just set a bunch of appointments and then try and cover them all. And
but you do cover them all. That's the difference.
Yeah, but I do it out of like guilt. I'm like, oh, like, I played electronic jacks, and now I need to write an electronic jacks review. And it's like, what the fuck? No one wants to read that. Like, sorry, developer of electronic jacks.
So the new iOS million seller, electronic jacks.
For Kinect, you just have to like fucking do this.
Oh, what do you have to do? No one can see your visual joke. Oh, God, you made a noise with it too?
Oh dear.
Oh Lord. Hillary's not here and masturbation jokes fly.
I was talking about the game.
Oh, sorry. That's what it was.
Little ball.
Oh God.
Oh boy.
What are the other, are the spiky things actually jacks. Called jacks?
Yeah, those are the jacks. Yeah.
The ball is just called the ball.
I would assume.
Well, they got all creative with the name for the actual jacks, but then they're like, and then the ball is just it's a ball. We don't call it anything.
We know so much about games, except the very simple ones.
The basics.
Like jacks.
You guys remember pickup sticks?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous game. I'm going to bounce this ball. I'm going to pick up a bunch of sticks.
That was
start cleaning.
Like Depression era, like, we're so poor. Here's a bunch of twigs.
Oh, boy.
It was pretty much what it was, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, we don't have anything else except for these twigs.
It was the same concept as, like, some guy who finished playing poker and then just, like, got mad and threw his cards and then was like, now we're going to play 52 pickup. You just got mad and threw your cards. It's like, yeah, well, we got to pick them up. Pick them up. It's a game. This is stupid.
Oh, boy. So have you guys looked at the PAX 10 yet?
No, I haven't. This is the first I've actually even heard of it.
I know that Gunpoint is one of the PAX 10.
Yeah, so I was gonna mention what games were gonna be on the PAX 10, and
I've played
kind of talk about a couple of them. Yeah, I think you guys have actually played more of these than I have, which is crazy. But there's a game called Avalanche 2, Super Avalanche, which is a PC game. The thing I think is interesting about the PAX 10 is that it's for a variety of different. Different platforms. So you have iOS games in here, PC games in here. There's a game called Badland.
It's gorgeous. iOS. It looks amazing. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Escape Goat 2 for PC, which is a sort of a puzzle game. Gunpoint, which Scott reviewed for the site and talked about.
It's so good, dude. So
really, really.
Like, so much fun.
It's a PC game. You have Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which I actually have not heard of, which is a PC and Mac platformer, which is, it looks absolutely insane. So that looks pretty cool. A game called Owlboy, which is an adventure game for PC. And then Matt's favorite, Ridiculous Fishing.
Read the description because it's perfect.
A handcrafted game about fishing with guns, chainsaws, and toasters.
The entire description.
That's brilliant.
One sentence.
Rogue Legacy, which is a PC game, which is a roguelike, of course. Soko Bond, which is a PC, Mac, and Linux game.
It's a puzzle game about chemistry.
Oh, that looks like...
That's Ash's. That is Ash's favorite thing.
Is that the bane of your existence, is chemistry?
Got a shudder. Like
here's a puzzle game about chemistry.
Yeah, I literally died when I read that. But, you know, I love that made it into the PAX 10. It's probably pretty awesome, you know?
I'm sure it is. It's just
and,
not.
And Towerfall, which is PC and Ouya.
Ouya.
And I heard a lot of really, really, really positive stuff about Towerfall. Actually, I think Ashley Birch talked about that a bit when she was on our show one time.
Oh, yeah.
So Towerfall looks to be pretty awesome. So that's the PAX 10. I'm interested to play. I've played a handful of these, but I want to play all of them and look at them and see why they were the 10 best indie games of the year. So, according to 50 industry experts, not ourselves.
You don't need to qualify that. Just let people think we were one of those industry experts.
We picked the PAX 10.
Yes. That's a little. I think you've gone too far. Just dial it back a little bit in the middle now. Where's the middle ground?
PAX 10. No.
No.
That's wrong.
That's perfect.
I broke the dam.
If Ash picked the PAX 10 and Sokoban made it in, that would be the most amazing thing ever created.
Oh my God. Just throw this game.
Not that it's not a good game. I have no idea. I'm just saying Ash hates puzzle games.
Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to say plus 10 publicity. There, I can say it.
You got
slow.
It.
Is that not a tongue twister? Tell me the
plus
truth.
Plus 10 publicity?
Plus 10 publicity.
See, Scott kind of stumbled a little bit.
Yeah. But I'm drunk all the time, you know?
Whoa!
I'm just kidding.
Weird admission.
Plus 10 publicity. All right.
You sound like Admiral Akbar saying it.
I don't know.
Plus 10 publicity.
Oh, Oh God! You know who's going to be super pissed is Mylin, because she takes great pride in naming these things.
You're
like, all right, welcome everyone to plus 10. Yeah, moving on.
Oh, you know what you should do? You should pre-record just the title, and then just be like, "Hey, everybody, welcome to plus 10 publicity," and then like keep going. And every time you have to say it, just replay the title.
I honestly think my opening will be about how I can't say the name of this panel. So.
Does she know what she's gotten herself into with you moderating this panel?
I think she's nervous.
For you to moderate it?
Yeah.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah. I will not let it be a boring panel. Let's put it that way.
No, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
If you can just get past the title, I think you'll be okay.
I'm going to bring a boombox and just play Panama by Van Halen.
Yes! Please. I'll air guitar.
Sean will dance with me. I know he will.
Sean will dance. Oh, yeah. I'll get up and air guitar. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Now this is going to be a great panel. Solved all the problems.
All right, guys. Let's take a break. Everybody's going to think that sounds edited because that's what usually happens. Yeah. Is like we're talking and then it dies and then like a new volume hits. It's like, oh, that's not edited. I really cut us off there. All right, guys, let's take a break and come back. And we're going to talk about Dragon's Crown and Elysium.
All right.
Dragon's Crown just came out, and it's Atlas and Vanillaware put this out. It's a PS3 and PS Vita exclusive, so you're not going to see it on your PC, and you're not going to see it on your Xbox One or your Xbox 360 or anything like that. So you got to have a PlayStation. If you haven't seen the art for Dragon's Crown, it's been the source of a lot of controversy because the females are drawn.
Oh my God.
What?
No, really. This has been like a hotbed of controversy because, let's put it this way. One of the female characters has an exceptionally large rump, and one of the other female characters has an ample upper chest region. And
she does not appear to be wearing a lot of clothing.
Well, to be fair, though, the guys aren't wearing... Oh, they're in full suits of armor.
I was going to say, this clothing is not suitable for combat.
So the art design is questionable, right? So, but if you want to overlook that and just look at the gameplay mechanics and the actual game itself, and it's a lot of fun. So, Dragon's Crown is an old fashioned kind of side scrolling beat 'em up, similar to good old Turtles in Time Golden Axe, which is the ultimate classic, right? And even one of my favorites, you guys remember Aliens vs. Predator that Capcom put out?
No.
Oh, my God.
A side-scrolling beat-em-up Aliens vs. Predator?
It was so amazing. They had it at one arcade when I was a kid. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 12, something like that. But it was incredible. You could play as two different Predators and I think two or three different Marine characters, and you would work together to fight off the aliens. But it was a Capcom side-scrolling beat 'em up. I used to love these games more than anything, and to be honest, I haven't played a really good one since Castle Crashers. I think all of us have at least dabbled in Castle Crashers, and it's a phenomenal experience. So when I heard that this game was coming out ages ago, I was really just like incredibly excited to see what it was going to be. And they did a great job with it. There are six different character classes. All of them have strengths and weaknesses. There's an elf who has like specializes in ranged attacks, and there's a sorceress who is one of the characters with the controversy surrounding her because she's not wearing much clothes. There's an Amazon who's a melee character, a female melee character, a fighter who's like this big bulky tank character. A wizard who kind of specializes in area of effect, and a dwarf who can do, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff like throw characters and things like that. The game I've probably put maybe at this point, I want to say 5 or 6 hours into it at the most. But it's neat because, you know, whereas those old games, there were no sorts of levels or loot or anything like that. Well, they implemented all that into this beat 'em up formula. So you have, you can level up and get experience and get treasure when you go through maps, and then you can allocate your points and, you know, put points into, like, for instance, I'm playing as the archer or the elf character, and I can add more arrows for my quiver so that I have to pick up less arrows that people drop, and I can fire faster. You know, you can unlock different attacks like slide attacks and uppercuts and things like that. There's a lot of depth to Dragon's Crown. I think it would be best played with a group of people. The narrative is super weak. It's really, really based. Just, you know, there's...
Is it reading? Is it text?
There is a narrator, so he'll read text to you, which is kind of neat. He'll be like, you enter the guild hall. There's a man in gleaming armor in front of you. Yeah. So that's kind of... I like that a lot. But it's neat, because every time you finish a mission, you show up in a pub, and you can, you know, identify magic items and equip them on your character, and then you go, you know, deeper.
Kind of sounds like D&D, sort of.
It is. It's set up very much like a D&D campaign. Big complaints, the levels are all short. So the dungeons are maybe between 10 and 15 minutes long each, which kind of reminds, like, thinking back on it, like when you played those old beat-em-up games, that's how long they were, though. Like, if you think of one that pops into my head with Turtles in Time, is there's a Turtles in Time level where you're on, like, I think pirate ships.
Yes.
And I was thinking it back because I remember playing that level so many times as a kid. It's only like, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes long. And so the levels are all like that. There are a lot of secrets and such to unlock in the game, which are great. There's like different areas in the map which you can actually kind of scroll over with a cursor. And you have this thief guy that's with you all the time, and he does all your unlocking and everything. So he can unlock different parts of the map that you can go back to and find new treasure chests and puzzles and stuff to unlock. So if you like side-scrolling beat-em-up games, this is like the golden side. I mean, this is awesome if you like that stuff. In terms of the combat mechanics, it's very, very simple. There's you know, maybe three different buttons to use. You're not going to get, you know, major combos. You know, you're not going to be learning like crazy Mortal Kombat style combos in a game like this. So it's simple.
So would you say like the appeal is more of like the leveling up and sort of the nostalgic aspect of like the game?
Yeah, absolutely. There isn't much depth. I mean, there's a little bit under the here, but in terms of depth, you're not going to unlock something on your character that's completely like game breaking, right? Mm-hmm. So the fun of the game is probably you know, getting with two of your best friends and just running through a bunch of dungeons and hacking stuff up. Really how the game is supposed to be designed. That being said, like, I hate to say this shouldn't be a $60 title, but it probably shouldn't be a $60 title.
It's
a full game, yeah.
I thought you were talking about a downloadable title.
This is a full game, yeah. It should probably be like $40. Yeah, this is retail, so, you know.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's retail. It's, you know, $59.99, and but I think the thing that's really, you should kind of respect about this game is it's all hand-drawn. There's little to no 3D in this at all, so it's a very kind of nostalgic, old-school feel. So, like, almost looks like, you know, cell animation, which is really pretty. So, but yeah, so I, you know, if you love that kind of stuff, which I do, definitely pick up Dragon's Crown for PS3. And if you have friends that actually will want to, you know, hop on with you, then I think it'll be even more enjoyable.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was good.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
You've only missed most of it.
I'm so sorry, guys. I was texting Ash this morning, and I'm like, so the only thing I could talk about was I worked.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It.
It's okay.
I did your PAX panel announcement for you. In your voice,
so.
So I was really excited to see this next one, Elysium, directed by Neil Blomkamp, who also wrote this. He was the writer and director of District 9. He was supposed to be on the Halo project, or he was supposed to direct the Halo movie that never came to. And this is his latest, and it's starring Matt Damon, Jodie Foster, and Charlotte Copley from District 9 as well.
Wow, you can say his name?
Charlotte Copley, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It might be Copley.
That's a hard name to say.
I'm pretty sure it's Copley.
Either way,
either way, I nailed it. That's how good
I am. You did nail it.
Plus 10 publicity.
I can't say it.
I refuse. But the story kind of follows an Earth that's been divided. There's the haves and the have-nots. The have-nots are down on Earth, kind of dealing in like really poor situations, a lot of poverty, no real medical help, a lot of drugs and theft and crime going on. It seems borderline lawless, except for the fact that there is very much a prison system and like robots running the police state that they kind of live in. It's weird. It felt like you could get away with a lot of crime, but you could also get like seriously punished for it. It was kind of what they were hinting at.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Matt Damon's character, Max. And the haves live up on this kind of space station called Elysium, which is man-made and just kind of the perfect version of everything. Sickness doesn't exist on it. You don't age. There's like these machines that automatically heal you or get rid of any problems you have. I didn't understand the you don't age thing that much, but I think they meant that you don't age quickly, I guess.
I think those machines actually like they slow the aging process.
Right. Cellular
damage you get from aging, they make that stop happening.
But you still age because there was old people there.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
true.
I think we saw. I think we didn't see old people. I don't know. They don't really. Elysium is like probably only about 20% of the movie. Like 80% of the movie takes place in Los Angeles, on Earth. But yeah, it follows the story of Max, who is an ex-con trying to like turn right. And basically he's got a job working at this big factory that makes the robots that police the country and actually kind of do everything. They were like doctors, police, army, servants, like bodyguards. They were everything. And he's working on building these robots, or is part of the factory that builds these robots. And then something horrible happens to him, and then that's where the movie kind of kicks off, is he finds out he's going to die soon, and the only way he can survive is if he gets to Elysium.
And which you see in the trailer. So
which you see in the trailer, yeah. It's not a spoiler. Yeah.
You know, I want to say real quick is I really found myself enjoying just looking at the world before the plot of the movie ever really kicked in, before there were any circumstances, you know, or any character motivation for him at all, just watching him go to work and watching how beautiful in a sad way the future Los Angeles was. I really, really love just like looking at it all. I mean, it was just a gorgeous film.
There's a thing, I think this is where, like you talk, we weirdly do not talk about movies when we see them together anymore. I know I used to say like, we shouldn't talk until we get to the podcast, but now we just don't. Like we walk out of movies, we literally say almost nothing to each other about the movie.
I save it all.
Yeah, we save it all. And then we'll talk about it here, which is weird. But the one thing we did say, or you said, was like, you know, Neil Blomkamp has an eye for making gorgeous movies. And I think not only that, I think he has the ability to create this world where you feel like there's a lot more going on. Like there's a whole world. Like you know, like you'd said, I think that is not in the podcast, but you said that we only see LA. But yet I am absolutely positive that there is the rest of the world that like is all living in poverty and dealing with these things and looking up at Elysium. And like there's a million other Maxes out there is kind of what it felt like to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's just really good at creating. He did the same thing in District 9 where you really focused on like three or four characters, but yet you feel like there's tons of stories going on around these three or four characters. It doesn't feel like you're just living in this tiny little shot of a world. But yeah, so movie, you know, it kind of kicks in at that point. There's a lot of action, a lot of fighting. One of the most mind-blowing things to me the entire time was I did not for a second not believe that those robots were real.
Like, oh my gosh, they looked incredible. They looked so incredible.
Like part of me wanted to be like, how do you build a space station and a bunch of robots and then shoot a movie on it? Like they looked flawless visuals. I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah, if they actually had created, I mean, I don't know, like if some of them were practical effects and some of them were visual effects, I could not tell the difference.
No.
So, I mean, there was probably a blend of both, you know, of actual models and such, but I had no idea which was which. So,
yeah,
it was really neat.
It was awesome. I really only have a few maybe negative remarks about the movie because I don't want to spoil too much. Like, I don't know what I can talk about without spoiling it. There's really only two, and
I know what one of them is. This God. Is the one thing we could not keep from saying last night.
And I'm gonna. This is gonna ruin it for you, Hillary, because you're gonna focus on it when you see the movie. And I apologize.
But that it looks like Mass Effect.
No, well, there's a little bit of that too.
There's a little bit of that, but that doesn't.
Okay.
It's not. That's not. If anything, that's like a. Like a nod and a wink, not so much a straight up stolen from. It's not RoboCop, you know, which is straight up N7 armor that the guy's walking out in. Jodie Foster's choice of dialect is the weirdest thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
An accent, like, just created some weird. I don't even understand like what it was supposed to be. It was
so like Deanna Troi.
No, worse than that. Much worse. Because Deanna Troi, you could just, you know, after a while, you're like, oh, she's, you know, she has a weird Deanna Troi accent. This is like French mixed with.
I don't even know.
Old English.
Out, I said to Ash, I said, so is that what Jodie Foster thinks people sound like in the future? Like, it's like this weird, overpronounced.
Wee.
No, it's like. We are going to do this, and you will do this if we do. And you're like, what is she saying? Like, it's just like everything's like overpronunciated and like weirdly specifically said. And it's really weird, like a really weird choice.
Yeah.
The only thing Melissa made the point that she actually naturally has a Southern accent, right? Or does she not?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think she does have a Southern accent.
I don't think.
Is she real? Maybe she's not a real person. Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that's
Jodie Foster is not a real person.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Oh, no. Didn't she have some crazy speech?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. What accent was she using in her crazy speech?
Crazy.
Yes.
She had like a crazy, like, I might be a lesbian speech at the Oscars. Yes. And it was really weird. It was a weird choice, and it stuck out like a sore thumb every time she's on screen. Like, she comes on the screen and says something, and you're like, oh, what the hell is going on with her voice? Like, it pulls you right out of the movie, which it really shouldn't. There are a ton of accents in the movie. Ash and Chrissy did note this to them, or Christina talked about this a little bit, is that it's kind of hard to follow at times because there's like, Charlton Copley is South African and does not change his accent for the movie. He is very much South African in the movie. There's a lot of Hispanic accents. There's French accents. There's Jodie Foster weird future talk accent. Yeah. Then there's like Matt Damon who talks just like Matt.
just like Matt Damon.
Well, I think the point being that like
that is so Matt Damon.
Well, Neil Blomkamp's like vision of this is that like the world has turned into like one gigantic melting pot. Like,
yeah,
and there is no sense of country anymore. Like, everybody kind of like LA was essentially Mexico. Like, honestly, I think everybody spoke Spanish. Everybody did. And it was like weird. Like, I think his point is that, you know, things are going to get so bad, it's not going to matter anymore. Like, we're all going to be one big blended world, essentially.
I got it.
Well, I mean, like, that's true today in California. Like, not being Mexico.
LA is Mexico.
No, not that part. But the fact that you can go to a store in any city in California or even small towns and you will encounter several different accents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's true today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what he's saying is that like, this is just going to keep expanding to the point where there's kind of no borders anymore or whatnot.
Right.
But, the other weird thing in the movie, and this wasn't necessarily bad, it just was weird to me. And we didn't actually talk about this, Ash, is that some of it is really like cartoonish almost, like, Spider, the gray.
Oh, some character. Of the characters. Yeah.
Some of the characters are weirdly like super overblown. Like, even Charlton Copley's like bad guy character and the guy who plays Spider, they're just very like.
They're over the top. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Way over the top. It's not bad. I don't know if you disliked it, Ash.
No, some of the performances are the only things that they were on my negative list as well. Like, and not to say that it was poorly acted by any means. It's just, it was just odd. Like, it was just really odd. Like, I'm usually very, very good at recognizing what people are saying with strange accents and stuff. But sometimes Spider would speak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no fucking clue. Like, I have no idea what he was saying. And I bet you 90% of the audience didn't either. Like, he was just shouting like, You're just like, what was that? I have no idea what you're saying. So, yeah, I mean, the performances were a little strange, but it was still great.
So do you have any thoughts, Ash, that I didn't?
I mean, my big thing is I love the tech in this film. There's so many, not only the robots and such, but there are a lot of weapons and stuff in this movie that I've never seen in any other film. Like, they have these little discs that like latch onto your body and like make you explode. The movie is gory.
Gory.
Probably one of the goriest films I've seen in theaters in years.
Not for children. Tons of cussing and super gory. Like,
there's
amazing.
A scene where a guy catches a shrapnel from a grenade in his face, and they do this strange camera move where you actually see his face kind of get like grenaded.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just intense. Like, people get shot with these guns that just kind of rip you to pieces, and they show the pieces flying in every direction.
A lot of exploding bodies. Like multiple exploding bodies.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. But the technology and such is really brilliantly done. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things we've seen in other films, but they fly around in this really neat kind of aliens-esque drop ship. They're flying around like old blown up LA, and they're sending out these drones, and it's just neat. You know, there's a lot of really neat technology to kind of gawk at and be like, wow, you know, does stuff like this exist, or will it exist one day? So if you're a tech nerd, you'll probably love just like looking at how everything
I don't know
works.
Scott, will it exist someday?
We'll have to wait and see.
Scott knows.
But yeah, overall, I would say super entertaining. I actually really liked the movie. It was a little mixed between, I think, the wives and the husbands. I don't know what Christina felt like. Melissa thought it was okay, but didn't really love it. She was just kind of like, meh, it was all right. But the things that took her out of it were really weird. It was like you're not going to be able to download somebody's information to your brain. And I'm like...
why is that bothering
you? In the future world where there's robots running around and a guy has a mech suit attached to his body, you're worried about them downloading information to a brain.
Okay, like, I'm done. I'm checking out.
And she even said, she was like, you know, I shouldn't have this complaint, but it just stuck. It was just one of the things that stuck out to her. But yeah, like, acting choices aside, I thought the movie was super entertaining, and I actually really liked it. It was a good follow-up for that director from District 9. So
cool.
Yeah. All right, so we're back with our nerd-appropriate question of the week, which is about living forever. So the question was, would you want to live forever? If so, what would you do with your newfound immortality? And people liked this one. We got a lot of varying responses to this question, which I was really surprised. I figured everyone would want to live forever, but people seem to really like their mortality, which is strange.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say like death. I'm like, huh?
Really like dying. No. No, we got a lot of really, really great and some poignant responses here. So good stuff.
Starting with Patrick Weeks with a poignant response. Well, first he references Highlander.
Yes.
Which is fine. I appreciated it. But then he said, seriously, no, I want to live this life as best I can and then see what comes next.
Hmm. Which is awesome.
That guy. Always
he has an adventurer spirit.
He does. And then Eric Halston, who's at Eric Halston on Twitter, says, exactly, you lovely old face. I figure 500 to 1,000 years is about right. I can skip the heat death of the universe. Thanks.
Yeah. He was actually referring to the Highlander quote or the YouTube video that Patrick Weeks put in. At first. Just explaining, guys. He didn't just say exactly out of nowhere. Exactly.
Yes.
So Richard Ingham says, initially, life forever means you can outlast many things, but then you look back and realize it's a curse. Reference, TMNT.
I can't remember who says
that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is it Shredder or was it Splinter who said that?
Sounds like something Splinter would say.
Yeah,
it really is. I remember it, but I don't remember who said it.
So Jennifer R. at Jenny the Pirate says, too many wardrobe updates, and at some point, the people... you get your jokes are all dead.
That's
sad. You'd reference things and people would be like, what? And you're like,
if I live forever, I would so not have too many. I would always wear a black pocket tee and probably a pair of jeans.
Because jeans were popular like 100 years ago?
They're still going to be popular. Jeans will be popular forever.
No, they won't.
Mark my words. This is a time capsule.
Hey, I've seen Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and I know what people wear in the future.
Like muumuus, giant.
Yeah. Moumous. I'm like, sure they said that about corsets, too. Like
foam tunics.
Someone take this next.
What's happening? I don't know. Kyle Holt.
She said corset.
At Keel Hall says, possibly. Among other things, I'd probably write a multi-volume history of our species, which sounded less dorky in my head. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
I love that response. I thought that was a great one.
You could do like a very long science project over the course of your immortality.
Be pretty accurate too, because you're writing and that's happening. So good idea.
Okay, so Natalie, who is amazing, who you should go check out her article on the site about GamerX.
Number
She's
one
amazing.
This week.
It's true. So her Twitter handle is at StumpyNat. She said, if I get to be the space pope, sure, I'd be down with immortality. I'd rule the galaxy with an iron fist and force lightning. I love her.
I would let Natalie be my space pope. That's acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just vote her space pope now.
Okay. All right. Natalie is space pope.
Done.
Meeting adjourned.
Chris Barrows at SJB's mama. Prob not. Probably not. Everybody says prob. I write it. Probably not. Would be awesome to experience everything, but there's enough in life that makes me glad I only have one to live. As far as we know.
So are we allowed to accept a middle ground for this answer? Because I don't know that I'd want to live forever.
Right.
Maybe just a while.
A while?
Yeah.
A while.
Yeah.
You can always throw yourself in like an incinerator.
Well, but you didn't really answer that, Ash. Like, do we live forever, period? No matter what, we can't kill ourselves? Or
I never set the parameters, and I was really shocked at how deeply people thought about this. Yeah, they're like, oh, wait, am I completely immortal? Yes. Or I'm like, I don't care. Just answer what you want. It doesn't matter to me. This isn't going to fucking happen. It's like I'm not like bestowing immortality upon you.
Oh, could you?
No, but that does segue pretty well into my answer. My answer, I always joke with my wife that I'm like 99% serious. I want to be cryogenically frozen when I die.
Cool.
Like Walt Disney?
Because
Demolition Man.
A little bit like movie. Demolition Man. But when I was in college, I used to have really terrible stage fright before I got to college. And then I learned to speak in front of people. And now I'm okay with it. But I had a speech class, and my final project for my speech class was a 10-minute presentation on whatever we wanted to do. And I did mine on cryogenics. I don't know why I chose that, but I did. And I did all this research about this company that does it in Arizona. And I learned all about it. And it's really fascinating. It's super expensive. And it totally doesn't work yet. And basically, you're just giving them a lot of money to put you in like a little, little Ziploc can bag. Someplace. Yeah, pretty much a Ziploc bag. But I always joke. I'm like, just freeze me. Why not? And see what happens when they can thaw me out and fix whatever was wrong with me. So,
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an idea.
Yeah.
All right.
Huh.
So your answer is yes.
Yes.
I was going to ask, and I think you skirted around the question, but I was going to ask, do you think the brain is like capable of handling, living for, 300 years plus something like that,
Yes.
You think so? You don't think some kind of like dementia would set in as far as like just like having to catalog so many like hundreds of years of experiences? Like, you don't think that would be.
I think dementia, isn't that.
That's not the word I meant to use. I'm just saying.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. Like, I think that it could catalog as much as you would expect it to, if that makes any sense. I know that sounds like a really stupid statement, but I think if the expectation is that your consciousness knows that you're living for a really long time, I have a feeling that your brain would support it. But we're programmed to as soon as we open our eyes on this planet, it's almost like you have less than 100 years.
But wouldn't you not? You're not going to catalog everything. You don't now.
No, it's like RAM.
So you have memories that you will remember for a while. It may not always be forever, but you're going to remember them for a while. And then some of them get erased as time goes on. Some of them aren't even real memories. They're basically implanted stories that you've heard so many times or that you've talked about enough that they become memories. So it's like the reality, your reality would probably constantly shift as you continue to grow. But also your brain's organic, and that would wear down over time.
I mean, if you were immortal, I think that part is okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying as far as like taking in so many experiences, I wonder if there's a side effect to that. But
like I'm overload. Sure it changes you.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Maybe but it's outside like, of the scope.
And that's
of this
why
discussion.
that's why, you know, like immortal people are generally evil, right?
And
in
why
stories?
Do you think old people are so cranky? They're just so jaded and like they've seen everything a million times.
But isn't
sick of it.
It's because their body is betraying them. That's why.
But isn't that like aren't what you're referring to, Scott, is basically like PTSD, right? Like brain overload. Like you've experienced something that you can no longer comprehend or handle.
Yeah,
or so
maybe
many
I was just saying, does it change you to live forever?
I don't know.
I think it would. In terms of personality, yeah. I think it would. You wouldn't interpret reality the same way as everyone else does, because we still like part of growing as a human being is experiencing new things all the time. That way you have excitement and all these new emotions. But if you've already experienced all of them, I think eventually you're just going to kind of be like this sullen kind of
sociopath,
sad. Yeah.
See, like I don't subscribe to that idea that you'll have a lack of new experiences, because if you were to live forever, you would be meeting all of the new generations of people, which would then catalyze like new experiences. I don't think that's what the problem would be. I think that we all know that we're finite. So to be thinking all of a sudden as being infinite, I think that changes things. And that,
yeah, but
in
I'm,
that
I'm getting frozen. I'm getting frozen.
Yeah,
so
Ash has a good solution.
Yeah.
Maybe we should move on.
I know one thing for sure. Ash totally thought that we would have this in depth of a conversation about immortality.
Hey, this could have been a question about burritos.
It was really close to being a burrito question.
Hey guys, it's really important to have the sour cream and the guacamole in their burrito.
I'm not even kidding. I had the burrito question in Twitter about to hit submit, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about this for half an hour.
Next week, we are talking about burritos.
Oh, God. So
burritos should not have rice, period. Anyway.
So who's going to read this mushy four response thing here from our buds? Somebody's got to read. Do we want to act it?
No, I'll be Denise.
Okay.
And, Scott,
I see Nate. This.
I think Matt should be Nate because
Matt should be Nate.
Matt is Nate. Right? All right.
I'll be Denise.
All right.
Because I know Denise won't get mad at me.
We're going to set the scene. The question has been asked. This is Nate's first response. Depends on some circumstances. Do I continue to age or am I locked in time as how old I am right now? And then you answered and you said, so nothing kills me billions of years from now when the universe is unlovable, I still remain. I think he meant livable, but he wrote lovable. It's fine. It's just a mistype. It's no big deal.
And then his girlfriend, Denise Kwan, who's at Denise Kwan on Twitter, replies, would you really want to live forever without me though, Nate? Winky
face.
It's a trap.
Nate responds, this is my conundrum. I would say no, but if I did, the first thing I would do is figure out how to keep you with me.
Aww.
And then I say, as Denise, yeah, you'd be bored for an eternity. Let's be real here.
And scene. Yes, very good. Nicely done.
I'm clapping here. Hold on.
Improv theater.
Yep.
I'm doing a little bow. Slow bow.
All right.
It's a nerd appropriate players.
Yes.
All right, so King Jimmy at Drachmarth says, I think we all know what would happen, and it wouldn't be pretty.
What would
so
happen?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm really curious what would happen now.
He's like, he likes to be like, he's like evil. I mean, he's awesome, but he's like evil. So he'd turn into like a supervillain.
Wow. He probably would be a supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can see him with like one eyebrow raised.
Yeah, but like a super witty, like funny awesome supervillain that you're like, I just can't help but love you. I don't know. Yeah. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would he be King Jimmy? You're all welcome for that. Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says, yes, I'd live a la the Wizard of Oz, mystifying the public with parlor tricks.
I like it.
I want to know which Wizard of Oz he's going to be, from the original series, or is he going to be Pineapple Express Wizard of Oz?
Franco.
One character.
One character.
I think the 39 version.
Yeah.
I
hope Chris so. Taylor at Shockwaver, a friend of the show, says long lifespans, sure. But living until the eventual heat death of the universe? No way.
So many heat deaths of the universe.
I know. I think everybody watched that one.
Scientifically minded crowd.
Yeah.
I think it's because that episode of Into the Wormhole or whatever just aired like not too long ago.
Well, I was going to say this leads to mine because before I watched the Stephen Hawking show last night, I probably would have been like, yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens. And then I watched the Stephen Hawking show last night and I was like, oh my God, the sun's going to explode and kill us all. So I think I'm cool with like, I'd like to live a little longer. I'd like to see, yeah. I'm too like tech minded.
Wait, you don't think that we'd all be in spaceships by then? There's no way that we would, like, knowing that the sun's going to blow up. There's no
way
that
we're going to go.
We're going to find another planet, a la Battlestar Galactica.
If the sun blows up, everything dies. we'd have to find another solar system.
There's like hundreds of millions and millions and billions and quadrillions and bajillions of universes. I mean, sorry, galaxies everywhere.
You have full potential of floating around forever in a spaceship and never
looking
finding
for a new home
to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Din, 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 yeah, exactly.
That was my horrible Battlestar.
No, I got it. I got it.
I got it too.
You don't have to backtrack on that.
Amanda T at Fluid Fire says, no, because I think I would become too jaded. Could a person dream the same way if they knew they could just wait and see?
Ooh, good question.
You could be the creator still.
All right. So Andrew Baker, A Baker, N7. I'm not going to read that 2H next there.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
well,
I'm good.
You kind of did.
Shh. Okay. Since everyone I love would die around me. Oh, sad. I'd do all I could to leave the planet and explore space and time like the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to assume that his doctor has enough money apparently to explore space and time. Is that what I'm to understand from this sentence?
Yeah, in the TARDIS.
He's what?
In the TARDIS.
No, that was a bad joke. Move on.
Okay. Andrew Baker, right? Nope.
No.
At Carlo at Platinum Fist. Thank you.
Off the rails.
Probably not. Too much time on my hands, which would be spent trying to find ways to pass the time.
Retirement, never.
Hmm.
You could keep doing stuff if you live forever, you know?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
You have to give up on life and sit in a chair.
You probably have a super awesome gamer score, too.
Yeah, your gamer score would be ridiculous. Eric, Echap33, says, absolutely, I wouldn't be a depressed recluse. It would be an eternal party with endless adventures. That's a good way of
looking
at
it.
Yeah.
I like that answer. All right, so TGS at FL Todd says, you mean I'm not immortal already? In that case, I'd somehow ensure they don't screw up Star Wars year after year after year after year.
His one goal in life.
It's a noble goal.
I'm here on this planet to make sure Star Wars is treated correctly.
You're just this crazy like hobo that shows up on set and just like, I'm just here checking on Star Wars, you guys.
It'd be great if Todd was the only immortal person and then they would go back. There would be this Star Wars documentary and like in the background of every photo, it would be like him, you know, making sure that Star Wars was like the way it was supposed to be.
That would be amazing.
No, and then they'd like circle the shadowy picture of him and call him a Sasquatch.
He'd be like an observer. You know what I mean? Fringe. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Jenkins at Cloglip says, are we talking Jack Harkness, Wolverine style unkillability? Sure. I would dive into the deepest oceans and ride a rocket into space.
Awesome.
Shit. Sounds like a party.
Yeah.
Didn't Wolverine do that in one of the comics? Hook onto a rocket and go into space?
I haven't read that one, but...
I think he did.
Was he wearing a cowboy hat and chaps?
Let's see.
All right, so Lisabitz at Lisabitz says, maybe. I'm so curious about the future and where we go. It bums me out that I won't be around when we find the mass relays.
Yep. Synthesis. Yep. All the way.
Yeah.
Rasmus, yeah, see how I just went over that? Rasmus says, now life is sweet, and what it brings I tried to take, but loneliness, it wears me out, it lies in wait. R.E.M.
R.E.M. It's a song quote. That or he... wrote that while dreaming.
Did Rasmus add no to the end
of
it?
Added,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
His answer is no.
His answer is no. Yes.
Yes.
No. Yes.
Those are awesome, guys. Thank you so much for those. It's a really like really amazing.
Super
response.
Like introspective. Yeah.
Yeah, like super smart.
So wait, Ash is the only one who really answered the question, right?
No, I answered.
Of us, did you?
I said I would like to live for a while.
Oh.
And I said that. I said that. I kind of agreed with Scott in a sense that I'd like to see, like, what comes, like the things that I can anticipate now. I'd like to see what happens from them, but I don't necessarily want to live forever.
Okay, well, no one asked me, and I would say I would take immortality with. Yeah, I would love it. Yep. I'm totally in.
I would love it.
And can I just say that I'm very proud of us that we made it through this entire discussion without talking about vampires.
Oh. Do you know that I was just gonna say?
I know. That's why I waited to see what you said, and then I said that. But you didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I would totally do it. No, I would. Okay, I'm gonna take that off the table. I would totally do it because I love the idea that you could sit around your house and play video games for as long as you want without the guilt and the pressure of doing work or anything else. Because you're like,
wait, why don't you?
I got time. Money? Yeah, you can. But yeah, I mean, but you can also work a lot. Like I worked 16 hours yesterday. And I have no guilt about that because I'm not wasting my life. I don't have life to waste. I have all the life I want.
You would be, instead of being a tourist of the world, you would be a tourist of time.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. But yeah, no, I would absolutely take that like both hands. Like I'd be like, yes, me. I want it.
All right.
Both hands. I've been practicing both.
But I said both. Yeah. I didn't say both.
No, I said I've been practicing.
Oh, okay.
This makes me weary, guys.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. That's the episode. Ash, close it out.
All right. This is episode 116 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can find us at Nerd Appropriate on Twitter, and you can send us all emails. It's Matt, Hillary, 1L, Scott, and Ash at nerdappropriate.com. You can head on over to our Facebook page and leave a message for us there. We have some pictures and stuff up for you guys to check out. And that's /nerdappropriate on Facebook. And we have Goodreads and Google Plus and all sorts of other stuff and places you can find us as well. So
watch Twitter and Facebook for the Goodreads Hangout. It's going to come soon, probably in the next week.
Yes, absolutely. And as always, our music is by Big Giant Circles, who's Mr. Jimmy Hinson, and thank him again for our awesome theme song.
He's got a new album coming out, so keep an eye out.
Yes, I'm excited for the new album. And we'll have some more information about our pre-PAX gathering and some other stuff in the coming weeks, so stay tuned.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! Bye, everyone! Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
You've only missed most of it.
I did your PAX panel announcement for you in your voice. So.
I
think I said giggle, giggle.
He did say giggle, giggle. Well, I can say Hillary, giggle, giggle. You can't say plus 10 publicity, and I can't say giggle, giggle.
God.
Wait, I'm on a panel called Giggle, Giggle?
No.
Okay, thank God.
No, I literally discovered as I was reading it that the panel that I'm moderating with you on it, that plus 10 publicity. I can't say it because it's a tongue twister for me.
You know, we got a shout out from MTV, right? So it's like, yay.
Oh boy, I'm definitely going to watch Ash moderate this.